look at everybody's smiling faces. I just want to say, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Trisha
is here today, and she had lung surgery last week. And here's the thing. Some of y'all don't come to church over a headache. So I just want to point that out. Not that I want to convict you or nothing, but maybe the Lord's a little bit more with her than you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Dave ain't going to let me preach again. I promise you after today, he's going to be like, you need to take about 6 months off. This is only the second time. Before I get started, I want to honor the house. It's important that we give honor, and it's important that your pastor takes a break. Amen?
Amen.
So Pastor Dave and his family are on vacation, and that's amazing, and I love that. And so Pastor Reggie and I are filling in these last couple weeks so that they can get rest that they need. A lot of life changes happening. Their daughter graduated. They're emotional and stuff, all right? Stuff's going on, all right? So pray for your pastor and send him a Venmo of $5 this week just because. Just because. And he's like, "What? Why are you doing this? Just do it. Just do it." Send him to be like, "Hey, just want to get you a little ice cream, buddy. Make sure you're doing okay." All right? Today, I want to continue in a series that we've been in all summer called Everyone's Recovering from Something. And if we've not met before, my name is Keenan. This is my second time ever preaching here at Engage Newark. And that's because I've been here for more than a year. And I've been preaching as long as I can remember. But for the last 2 years, I've refused to preach anywhere. And I'm going to tell you why today. Cool? I also want to tell you something. My family is here at this center table over here. Last time I preached, they weren't here because I didn't invite them. Because, I'm sorry, we're going to be honest today, church. I'm going to sit down. Last time I preached here, I needed to make sure I could do it without them. That's why. Because, if I'm honest, I wasn't ready. I wasn't sure I was ready. God used me in that time, but I still wasn't sure I was ready. So today, I'm going to talk about the fact that we're all recovering from something. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ability to come together to read your word, to hear your word. Thank you that you listen to us. I thank you that you heal bodies, that you help us recover, that you heal hearts, you heal minds, and you change lives. So God, today, let no words of mine fall short. Let them have a purpose for your word and your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all may notice I've been gone for a little bit. I was in Florida for 20 days, and it's hot. I've never been that hot in my life. I woke up every day hot. First 7 days I worked, the next 10 days, I was on vacation. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Next 10 days I was at the pool every day, but it's hot. I almost died on the beach. Heat exhaustion. It was rough. Don't go to Florida in July. It's not your vacation time. Wait till October. And then just watch the radars for hurricanes. Amen? It's hot, but it's tolerable. So we've been talking about the fact that we're all recovering from something. I'm so happy to be back. I'm sad that I missed a lot of this series in the process, but I'm glad that we can watch online and that our online team is up there. Can you wave hi to those guys? We don't talk about them a lot, but they're amazing. Hey, guys. Thank you. I think we got a couple ladies up there, too, not just guys. Amen, because that's what it's about. So saying that we're all recovering from something is true. We talk about recovery from addiction, recovery from physical issues, recovering emotionally. And there are a lot of things that recovery can be true for. But today, I'm going to share with you that I am recovering from ministry. Some of y'all are like, that's not possible. You can't do that. The ministry is the work of the Lord. How dare you say something like that? That's terrible. It's true. And I would hope that if there's someone in this room, I don't care if anyone else is in this room right now, but the person who needs to recover from ministry, if that's what they need to hear. Today, I want to share with you that I'm recovering from a lot of things. I'm messed up. but I'm recovering from ministry. Pastor Dave left me an interesting topic. Now I'm going to stand up again. Camera guy, stay with me. You got this. I'm what you call extra. Pastor Dave left, that was my kid. Amen. Pastor Dave left me with an interesting topic today. We're talking about humility, being humble. Yippee. Specifically, being humble enough to recognize when we have character flaws and then to do something about it. I've been preaching on humility for years, if I'm honest. I have a passion for preaching on humility because I actually believe that, especially in the culture of the American church, we don't preach humility correctly. I'm going to get into that a little later, but I think that we get it wrong too much. So today, I'm going to share scripture, and I'm going to share a little of my own testimony. Then I'm going to give you a simple tool to help you humbly attack character flaws you find in your life. Is that cool? You guys willing to do that with me? I won't hold you long, I promise. I know I've got a Pentecostal background. I can preach all day if you want me to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that. I will not be able to do what Reggie does. I can't just tell you about your life in 10 minutes and walk away. I'm sorry. Bishop Bird's got that on lockdown. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, maybe it's me. Look at your other neighbor. Say, other neighbor, my second choice. Maybe it's me. The title of this sermon is called Maybe It's Me. If you'll turn with me to Luke 18, 10, 14, if you have your Bibles, Bible app, or you can just listen and follow along, that's okay with me because I like to tell stories that you don't necessarily have to read along with. You can hear it and go along with. Cool? This is a parable of Jesus. It's one of my absolute favorite ones. Why? Because it terrifies me. Scary. Scary hours. Luke 18, 10 to 14 says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this: God, thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, the unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector back here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. In layman's terms, Lord, I'm awesome. In verse 12, it says, or verse 13, it says, but the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he beat on his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These are Jesus' words, and he says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, but the one who humbles themselves will be exalted. One of my absolute favorite parables of Jesus. And it's because it's such a simple story. It's a short story that he's telling, but it has so many layers to it. And the more you peel back the layers, I'm going to stress y'all out about this verse like me, okay? Because I've studied this verse so many times now that every time I read it, I'm like, yeah. Because it makes you feel some type of way about yourself, if you're honest. The thing about it is, Jesus was not teaching people who didn't know him, didn't know God. He wasn't teaching Jews. Or he wasn't teaching Gentiles. He was teaching Jews. He was teaching religious people, people who claimed to know who God was and follow him. And he was effectively, in a very creative way, schooling them about the way they act. The thing I love most about this scripture verse is that it's a warning. It's a warning to kind of tell us to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen? Look at somebody say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's right. Oh, and something about me, when I preach, I need you to help me. I'm an interactive guy. I like to talk. If you're not a talker, that's okay. I'm also an introvert. So when I get off this stage, I'm probably not going to talk to a lot of you. It's the way God made me. I'm sorry. I will hide. Thank you. Thank you. But I'm telling you this right now. I need you to help me. Because if I'm uncomfortable, y'all are going to be uncomfortable too. Amen? Let's do this. So I want to start off. Everybody knows most people know the definition of humility or being humble. It's the opposite of arrogance in concept. Arrogance is being boisterous, believing I am great. I am greater than everything, everyone. I am awesome. Kind of like the way this Pharisee is talking. But biblically, the way that I've come to learn how humility is defined in God's eyes, and you can write this down if you're taking notes, is humility is understanding and accepting the limits of your humanity. Humility is understanding and accepting the limits of your humanity. How many of you have heard somebody say those adorable Christian tropes that we put on little plaques in our houses? Everybody, nobody's perfect. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. But God loves us anyway. We've all heard it 1,000 times. But when you think about what that really means and why it means, it becomes so beautiful. I'm going to put this down because it's hard to see y'all over it. When you think about what it really means and why we're not perfect people, why Jesus was the only perfect person, it becomes this, it turns from an excuse or a catchphrase to this beautiful presentation of the nature of God. God created us with flaws. That's factual. But those flaws exist so that when we reach the limit of our humanity, He can fill the rest. We are flawed people so that at the end of our humanity, God can work. That's where the extraordinary happens. When I accept that my limit, my ends are X, Y, and Z, and God, you're going to have to do this for me. Because honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do after that. That's where He works. That's where He operates. And particularly, and for this sermon especially, that's where He can begin to fix the flaws in our character as well. Here's the thing. The second you believe you don't have any character flaws, you've put yourself in danger of being humbled. Some people will tell you that's a good thing. You always want to be humbled all the time. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I've been humbled a couple times. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. I don't like the process. Okay? But at the end of this, I'll tell you how you can do that and not make it a painful process, whereas you're hurting through it, but instead you're growing through it. So the pains are pains of growth, like growing a muscle, like exercising. Cool? So look at your neighbor, say, hold on 1 second. I have an easy acronym I want to use today. It's real quick, real simple, and I hope that all of you remember it when you leave. So I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, it's about to get hot in here. Look at your other neighbor and say, keep your clothes on. I'm kidding. Don't say that. Don't say that. Some of y'all been at the church of Nelly's for too long. I'm looking at you, Bishop Byrd. He was ready. He was ready to say it. Hot, H-O-T, humble, open, transparent. Humble, open, transparent. So the reason that I have a passion for preaching on humility is because I have myself been, how do you say it? A victim of weaponizing humility. I have been told that certain things that are parts of myself are me being arrogant. I've actually been told that the way I dress at times means is an example of arrogance. I'm passionate about this because I think that if you teach humility the right way, you don't actually have to teach it. If people understand what humility is, we don't have to have someone show us or humble us. It's not something they can do. Only God can humble you, and only you can choose to be humbled. Whether it's by exalting yourself and being humbled, or humbling yourself and being exalted. So I want to take a second before I talk about this and give a disclaimer. We have a habit in the church of weaponizing humility as a way to control and manipulate those who we fear. And I want to apologize on behalf of any leader who has ever done this to you, because it's important to me that you know that sometimes it's not you. Maybe it's you, but sometimes it really isn't you. And I hope by the end of this you understand what the difference is. Humility is not determined by people. It's determined by God. People gauge humility by their own perception, which means that sometimes for certain folks, especially people in leadership in the church, and trust me, I told you, I think it's a big deal that Pastor Dave is on vacation because pastors need breaks. Because sometimes over time, over hurts, over traumas, confidence and security in another person, particularly those who are young and gifted, can cause other people to be uncomfortable and insecure. And understanding the difference is important. So I believe that if you are able to self-assess and self-reflect with the tools I'm about to give you, I believe that you will know the difference between someone's discomfort and your need to be humbled. Cool? You guys still with me? See, I start talking about humility, people don't laugh as much. I don't like that. It's not as exciting. So the first part of HOT is be humble. I find that telling someone you need to be humble never works. As a matter of fact, what it does is it actually pokes the arrogance and makes it much worse. But as Christians, we're reading this scripture that says, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, how do you humble yourself? You have to make statements about yourself. Statements that you don't like to make. This is going to be really fun. Here's an easy way to humble yourself. Start talking to yourself about the things you aren't good at. Oh, you're wondering what those are. And some people in the room went, I'm good at everything I do, so I just don't do stuff I'm not good at. Yeah, I was there. It's cool. Listen to this. I am not well organized. I am not good at managing money. I yell too much. I am not good at sharing my feelings. I have an addiction. I lack confidence. I feel the need to be in control all the time. It just got real quiet in here. How many of you think any of those statements apply to you? Yeah. Doesn't feel great to say that out loud, does it? Doesn't even feel great to hear someone else say it. The process of humbling yourself begins when you're able to say what you're not good at and what you're not good with. The things about you that you don't like are the same. You need to hear it. I know it's hard to do. I know it's hard to look at yourself and do it, but if you say with intent, I am not well organized, you start to recognize the things in your life that are not organized well. I have an addiction. You start to recognize how the addiction is spilling over into other parts of your life, and you don't even want to see that. I'm not good at sharing my feelings. You realize that everybody thinks you're cold, mean, and you don't actually like anyone. And you're trying to make friends, and you're, I like you, what are you talking about? And they're like, dude, you're mean. It's because you don't share what you feel ever. You just make statements and walk away. You can't find a flaw in your character if you can't be honest about where your own humanity sits. You cannot find a flaw in your character if you can't be honest about the fact that you're a human being who's flawed. Remember what I said, God starts working at the end of your humanity, not at the beginning. You can do a lot of things, but until you can admit what you can't do, you will never be humbled. And you will never allow God to fill that space. Humility starts with you. Once you do that, once you are humble, you allow God to work in your heart. What did we say about that tax collector sitting in the back of the room, unable to even lift his head up to heaven? This is not a representation of how you should be 100% of the time in your life. What this man was going through was his humanity. He was saying, I feel, I know that I have fallen short of who God is. We don't know what he was actually thinking about. All he said was, have mercy on me, a sinner. Once you can do that, God can go to work in your heart. All right, everybody take a breath. That was a little heavy, I know. But we got a lot more to go, so you're going to have to stay with me, okay? Open. Look at somebody, say open. As much as the first one isn't easy, this one's not easy either. However, it's a little bit more because then you don't feel alone. Some of us in this room feel alone right now. And it's because we don't have the ability to be open. We've closed ourselves off. And some of us in that humble part need to say, I don't trust anybody. I don't believe that anyone's for me. Ask someone you trust, someone who knows and loves you, about things you could get better at. And I need y'all to hear this. Shut up and let them talk. Oh, he said shut up in church. Shut up and let them talk. Hear every word they say. Why do I say that? Because we have a habit of saying, oh, tell me about something like I can get better at. Tell me something I can get better at. You know, like, tell me what's that. And then, fellas, your wife says, well, you kind of shut down when you get home from work and you don't speak to anybody.
Well, I'm trying to get home from work. You know, I'm just going to say I got to do, you know, it's a long day. It's hot outside.
You didn't hear a word she said. She didn't say, I need you to be sunshine and rainbows when you get home. She said, I need you to say hi to our children. I need you to talk to me and let me know that you still love me after a day at work. Because I don't even believe that you do. But you didn't. You immediately
went, well, no.
Shut up. Let them talk. Ask them questions. How could I get better? What could I do? Because here's the thing. And I say that specifically because, newsflash, I've gone through that. This right here could fix your marriage. This right here could fix your family. This right here could fix your friendships. The more you learn to be open to healthy criticism, I say healthy on purpose, because some people really just be haters. Some people really just be haters for no reason. They're mad because their life is in shambles. And the second you give them the space to speak into your life, they will put their shambles on you. You don't have space for that. People you love, people who love you, people you trust, and people who are for you. Those are people who can offer you healthy criticism. And let me tell you something. If you say to them, hey, can you tell me something about their character, and they're afraid to do it, they're afraid to say something to you, you've already answered your question. You're too insecure to even ask that question. That's what they believe. And they love you too much to go through that with you. So you got to go back to humble again. The more you learn to be open to healthy criticism from people you love and trust, the more you will grow as a person. And you will grow in your relationship with God as a result of that. Because guess what? If you can be open with the people you love the most, you can be open to let God work in your heart. And I know a lot of people think it's got to be the opposite way. It does not. Sometimes it actually has to be. Sometimes you need other people. We are human beings. Our humanity is made to be. Why are there 7 billion of us on earth? Why? Because we're not made to be alone. We're not built for that. If you will allow him to do the same in your heart, you'll stretch that muscle. And the more open you are, you'll find the better friends you have, the better relationships with coworkers you have, the better family life you have. Everything you do starts to open up a little more. You feel like you're not carrying away. You don't feel as tense. You don't feel like I need to impress everybody anymore. Breathe again. Look at somebody and say, transparent. Once you've done humble and open, then you get to take the step towards transparency. And this is where your life changes. Speak how you feel and what you're dealing with honestly to the people in your life. Speak how you feel and what you're dealing with honestly to the people in your life. This step is not as difficult because a lot of us can just talk about our feelings. I'm not one of those people, if I'm honest. I can do it up here, but person to person, I can't do it. I do it up here because, like I said, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, y'all going to be uncomfortable too. I'll say whatever I need to, all right? But when you're able to start saying, hey, I feel this, and it may be my insecurity, because when I went through the humble step, I realized, hey, I think I'm insecure about this. And then I went through the open step, and my brother, my sister, my wife, my girlfriend, my son said to me this, and I'm now at this place where I'm dealing with it. I'm getting through it, and it's hurting. So you said this thing the other day, and I'm just trying to make sure that thing you said wasn't. I didn't take it this way because I'm being insecure. Can you help me? You know what kind of relationships you build out of that? Those are lifetime kingdom building block relationships. You can conquer the world with relationships when you start having transparent conversations like that. You have to do it with yourself too. Was this conversation really about me? I heard someone talking and laughing in the corner while I was talking, and I don't know, is that my insecurity flaring up again? That I thought they were giggling and talking about me and making fun of me. Is that me? Couple tips. Don't overdo it. Don't just be going places sharing feelings with everybody. Because there are people like me in the world. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm being transparent with y'all. There are people like me in the world. If I see you at Walmart and you start going down the feelings train with me, especially if them headphones were already in before you started talking to me, I'm going to be like, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I got to go get eggs. I love you. You're awesome. And I'm, because I can't do it. You can't do it with everybody. But if you text me, there's a 2 or 3 business day wait. But I'm going to put thought into that. I'm going to read it and respond from a place of love, of respect for you. When you start spitting your feelings out everywhere, when you're actually going through something heavy, people don't take you seriously anymore. You end up boy who cried wolf, and you're really actually going through something. And I believe this. People who are very open with their emotions, share with their emotions easily, have this problem where when something's actually wrong, nobody knows what's actually wrong because they're so used to receiving emotion from that person. And it's not fair to you and it's not fair to them. So you have to balance. Hey, I'm feeling this. Hey, can we talk about this? This is really important to me. Hey, I just want to make sure we're good. There's nothing wrong with that conversation. And it's an important conversation to have. But I do have a couple warnings about transparency because there are some misconceptions that I think are really important. And I only know that these are misconceptions because I've been this guy. I'm just going to give you 3 phrases that transparency doesn't sound like. And some of y'all are going to be really mad at me that I said this today. Transparency does not sound like, well, I just tell it like it is. I just tell it like it is. I tell people it is. That's you pushing your shambles on someone else. I just tell it like it is. If they can't take it, that's on them. No, it's on you. Because all that means is even if you were trying to be nice, you are ham-handed and rude when someone was really hurting. Especially if that person has gone through these steps and they chose to be transparent with you and communicate how they were feeling to you, and you said, well, I just think you need to, you're the worst. Sorry. Not sorry. There's another one. Transparency doesn't sound like sorry, not sorry. You can't just, what even is that? It's a Demi Lovato song. Get out of here with that. I said what I said. It's funny in moments. But when someone's being honest and open and transparent with you, and you respond with, well, you know, I said what I said, so that's it. All you're trying to do is deflect what they said, because you took it like it was about you. And you were offended by it, because you're not humble enough to even admit that you get offended by small phrases like that, or by someone sharing their feelings with you. Band, you can come up. I told you, I've been refusing to preach for 2 years. Track with me, I'm sitting down again. I don't like being behind a pulpit when I share my actual feelings. But I'm going to be transparent for a minute. Is that okay? I want to tell y'all something that happened. A lot of you don't, you all don't know my story, and over time I'm going to share more of it. I can't do it all at once because then I start crying. I won't even make it through the sermon. But 2 years ago, I was working at a really large church. We were planting churches all over the world. And it was really cool. It was in the inner city of Cincinnati. We would see 800 to 1,100 people every Sunday, languages everywhere. I loved it. And I was blessed to be on the preaching team. And I kid you not, this preaching team, I ain't got no degrees but a high school diploma. And this preaching team had at least 22 degrees in the room. And I was blessed to be on this preaching team. I've only ever been great at one thing in my life, and that's this right here. I've only ever been great at this. I could preach the walls off of church. But I started to feel in my mind over the last couple years I was there, I really didn't need to make that much of an effort because people were so nice. They loved when I preached. They said so many nice things to me. I didn't feel like I needed to study as hard. I felt like I could fill in gaps and preach off my head whenever I needed to. And then one day, I had to, Carrie, play something nice, make me sound good. One day I had a meeting with a lay leader in our church. We were meeting about something different. And at the end, she stopped me because I was getting to go up because I don't really like meetings. So as soon as it's over and the allotted time, I make an effort. I'm there while I'm there, but I make an effort to go. But as I was standing up, packing up my stuff to go, she said, "Hey, you're a great preacher. Do you know some people in our church don't even listen to the sermons unless you're preaching?" And it stopped me because I'd never heard anyone say something like that to me. I wasn't the lead pastor of this church. I preached once or twice a month at most. And then she said, "You're so good as a preacher that you could probably do it without God. You should watch that." And then she left. She has left me in that room with that statement. And knowing that I'd already had these thoughts in my head that I'd not told anyone, I can just fill in the gaps. "Oh, this isn't a difficult message. I've preached this 100 times. I can do this." And people would clap and laugh and shout me down because we had a lot of brown folks in our church. At that moment, I realized that in this parable, I'd always viewed myself as that tax collector. I'd always believed that's who I was like. Because I didn't come from anything else. I didn't have a degree. I didn't do all that. I just started preaching one day when I was 14 years old, and I never stopped. And for the first time, I saw myself as that Pharisee. And I was angry. And for the next 2 months, my pastor tried to get me to preach, and I refused. And over that 2 months, I prayed and I decided that my family and I were going to go back home. Here. I was going to reconnect with what made me that pastor. What made me that preacher that people could listen to. And I was going to earn that. I knew I needed to make a change. And so I went through this process. I humbled myself. I'm not that good a preacher. There are people who can do it a lot better than me. I'm not that gifted. And over 2 years, I refused to preach until a couple months ago when you guys heard me preach for the first time. And I didn't invite my family because I needed to know I could do it without them, because I needed to know that I didn't have a section that was going to cheer me on just because they loved me. the real reason that this parable scares me is not because of the "you will be humbled." Jesus never tells us how that Pharisee was going to be humbled. And I had to make a decision. Do I want to find that out? And I determined that I did not. So I came back here. This isn't a big church. Y'all don't shout me down like my last church did. That's okay. Can I be real honest, church? This sermon doesn't crack my top 20. But the work it took, the sleep I lost, the way I had to rely on God this morning to bring myself to preach it to you, I wouldn't trade it for all 20 of the top. This isn't me today. This is God at the end of my humanity talking to you about what it's like to be humble, open, and transparent with yourself. Because when you're humble, open, and transparent with yourself, you will be exalted. And if you're not, you get to find out what it's like to be humbled. And Jesus doesn't tell us, other than stories of previous leaders who had to go through horrid, awful things in the process of learning to be humble. I think of Saul, I think of David, I think of Judas. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humble. It may take years. Your crew might be a little smaller at the end of it. It might be the hardest thing you've ever done, but it's your choice. You get to pick. Let's pray. God, I thank you that at the end of our humanity, you work. I thank you that the end of what we can do, you do the rest. God, right now, I pray for healing in marriages. I pray for healing in families that have not spoken to each other in 20 years. I pray that as this body learns to be humble, open, and transparent, it starts a wave through the families in this city, in this county, in this state that shows people that you can be honest. You can be humble, you can be open, and you can be transparent, and that's a good way to live. God, I pray that the person in this room who needs humbling receives it mercifully, because I don't know what you have planned, but I wouldn't want to play with it. And God, I pray that the people who are humbled are exalted to set the example for the rest of us. In Jesus' name, amen.